deny that great granary to the Confederacy. Lincoln, looking over the board in his usual apt way, said it seemed to him, as he looked at these five components, which were important and which were not. He said the roles of Butler and Siegel were, quote, those not skinning can hold a leg. So the main part of this offensive will be Grant and Sherman and Banks, but Siegel and Butler will play a role. They'll be annoyances to the Confederacy as well. Grant managed to slip at least a minor element of his strategy of exhaustion into all of this by calling for small raiding parties from West Virginia to strike into Western Virginia, Southwestern Virginia, against the railroads and perhaps do some damage in North Carolina as well. But that's a decidedly secondary part of what is going on. In all, this is not a brand new approach. George B. McClellan, for example, had tried to apply simultaneous pressure at various points when he was general in chief back in early 1862. But he hadn't been able to accomplish it. He hadn't even come close, McClellan hadn't. Grant has a well-conceived, ambitious plan for the United States in the spring of 64, apply pressure all the way from Virginia to the Gulf Coast and threaten the key cities of Mobile, Atlanta, and Richmond. By applying that pressure all across the board, Grant thought that he would deny the Confederacy the option of using railroads to bring troops together as they had before the Battle of Shiloh and as they had before the Battle of Chickamauga. They're not going to be able to shift troops around. They're going to have to try to match all of these Union advances. And Grant didn't think they would be able to do that. Within the scope of the strategy of exhaustion, Sherman's army probably had the most important role in this. The most good in that sense would be accomplished by Sherman once he got past Atlanta and into the interior of Georgia. The expedition from Mobile would also do some good there. But the attention, as always, would be focused mainly on Virginia because of the presence of Grant and Lee and the capitals and all the other factors that we've talked about in the past. Grant wanted his simultaneous advances to commence in early May. All right, let's look now at what happened to three of the five parts of Grant's grand strategy. We'll start with Nathaniel P. Banks. Plans seldom work as well in practice as on paper, and here, as the war went into its fourth spring, Grant would learn that lesson, much to his disappointment. Nathaniel Banks never even launched his campaign against Mobile. Instead, he bogged down in a movement along the Red River in Louisiana. This resulted from the summer 1863 plans for an expedition into the Trans-Mississippi. We talked about that earlier, how after Vicksburg, the North needed to decide what to do next, and the decision had been, Lincoln had been for it, Halleck had been for it, and others, that the focus should be on the Trans-Mississippi, knock that section out of the Confederate war effort. Lincoln hoped to get state governments up and running in Louisiana and Arkansas, his Reconstruction governments. He wanted to send a message to the French in Mexico, all the things we talked about before. Banks was from Massachusetts. He was very attuned to the fact that the textile industry in Massachusetts had been somewhat hard hit by the loss of Southern cotton. He wanted to gain control of a good supply of cotton. Banks was to be in control of the Union forces that would strike into the Trans-Mississippi. He'd managed a few landings along the Texas coast during 1863. Then in March 64, he mounted a full campaign into Louisiana along the Red River. Sherman supported this idea. He thought that if Banks made good progress, he'd be able to conduct this raid into Louisiana and get back in time for his part of Grant's overall strategy, for his strike against Mobile. Sherman expected about a 30-day raid of destruction, much like he had carried out during the Meridian raid. He even sent troops to Banks, sent 10,000 troops to augment Banks' force. Well, Sherman might have been able to follow an ambitious timetable, but the less talented Banks could not. He didn't even begin his campaign until the second week of March 1864, and then he moved very cautiously up the Red River with about 27,000 men. Another 15,000 Federals were moving south from Little Rock, and accompanying Banks' army was a Union naval flotilla under David Dixon Porter.